Well, we're continuing our series on the 23rd Psalm, and during this series, I've been challenging you to commit this passage to memory, not for show, but so that we can really get it down in our heart and live the principles out in our life. It is such a powerful psalm, and I'm just telling you, if you will do that, it will be a blessing to you. We're going to go all the way through verse 4 this morning, and we're going to put it up on the screen because I want everybody to say it. But if you don't, if you can say it without looking at the screen, you do that, all right? Say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. He takes care of me. But sometimes we come to a dark valley in life we'd rather not have to go through. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. Such peace and contentment. But life is not always green pastures and still waters. There are some dark places. He restores my soul. I think that maybe part of the reason our soul has to be restored, sometimes it's because we've been through some dark valleys. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Then why do I have to go through the valley? I tell you, you see, we get this idea sometimes that if we just do everything right, then it's all going to be sunshine and roses all the time. But it's not like that. Just last week, I shared the verse with you that says that the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It gets brighter and brighter. So why do we have to go through the valley? We need to know that all of us are going to go through some valleys. I am going to tell you that when you serve the Lord and you follow Him in the paths of righteousness, you're going to have a lot more of those good days. But we're still going to have some times when we come to the valley of the shadow of death and we have to walk through some things that we don't want to. Some of you, you're in a valley right now. Let me tell you, the Lord has not let you down. And if you will trust Him, He will continue to lead you through the valley. You're not supposed to stay there. If you'll trust Him, He'll lead you safely through. But yeah, some of us, you're in the valley, and I believe that God would comfort you, that He would speak to you today. And I want you to know that, yes, if you let Him lead you, brighter days are ahead. It's going to get better. But the Scripture never promises us that there won't be dark days. You need to know this. There's a valley in your future. Now, you didn't come to church this morning wanting to hear that, did you? But you need to know it because we all are going to have to know how to deal with those times. Now, I talk about a valley, you know, sometimes we think about the valley. We read about it in a book, this beautiful, green, lush valley. That's not the valley we're talking about, is it? No, it's the valley of the shadow of death. And I'm going to tell you, there are all kinds of dark valleys. They come in all shapes and sizes, but they come to all of us. Just give you a few examples. The loss of a job or income, and you don't know how you're going to get by. A divorce, separation, a breakup that breaks your heart. That's a dark valley. Illness, whether it's you or a loved one, and one that we all eventually have to go through the loss of a loved one. That's a dark valley that we all have to deal with. So yes, we all are going to go through the valley of the shadow of death at times. It's inevitable. But the 23rd Psalm promises us that the Lord will be with us and He will bring us through. Now, as I said, I know some of you are in a valley right now. If you're not in one right now, don't feel like you're missing out. Yours is coming. And that's why we need to hear this message this morning. Because whether we're in one right now or it's just down the road, we all are going to deal with this. And this scripture will prepare us and help us to know how to get through that valley of the shadow of death. There's always going to be dark valleys. Storms come to all of us. There's no storm-free life. Jesus talked about the wise and the foolish. The wise were those who built their life on the Word of God. And the foolish did not do what He said. The storm comes to both. The difference is that those who have built their life on the Word of God will still be standing when the storm passes. I'm just saying, though, we're all going to go through the storms. There's no trouble-free life. It's so weird that sometimes preachers paint this picture of a trouble-free life. Wrong. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. We're always going to have trouble in this world, this fallen, sinful world. I'm telling you, there's always going to be trouble. There's no trouble-free life. There's no problem-free life. We all have problems. The good, the bad, and the ugly. We all have problems. And there's no valley-free life. We're all going to have the opportunity to learn to trust Him more in the valley. David learned to trust Him because David went through so many hardships, so many valleys. All of those things I was talking about earlier, virtually all of those David had been through, but he trusted Him. Moses went through those kinds of difficulties, and Joseph sure did, and Peter did, and Paul did. You read about their stories and all that they went through, and it's amazing how God kept them. Why do we think we don't have to go through dark valleys? I do, you do, and they do. I said they do, because sometimes, you see, we don't see what other people are going through. I mean, we might see a little bit on the outside, but you don't have any idea what somebody else is really going through. We all go through difficulties and battles and hard places in life, dark valleys. But the shepherd will take care of us. He'll lead us through. Dark valleys are just never our choice. And we don't choose when we're going to have that dark valley. That's why we need to be ready. And I believe this word will get us ready. As difficult as the dark valleys might be, I want you to know this morning. It's not all bad. Now, when you're in that dark valley, sometimes you could just say, oh, yeah, it doesn't matter what else. It's bad. It's just bad. All bad. No, it's not all bad. There are some things that you're going to learn in the dark valley. There are some things that are going to come to light in the dark valley. And there are some things that you will come to know that you didn't know before in that dark valley. One of the things we come to know is we come to know just how little we know. I'm 65. I can tell you, there are a lot of things I don't know. A whole lot more than when I was 35. You come to know just how much you don't know. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8:2, and if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Some of the things you think you've got figured out, you think you know, you get in the valley of the shadow of death and you're going to figure out, I didn't know as much as I thought I did. Some of us, we think, you know, we think we got all our ducks in a row. The way we're raising our kids, man, I'm doing good. Raising them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. All of a sudden, things take a turn. You figure out you don't know everything. Some of us, you know, we know how to handle our money. We're making good money. We're saving and we're paying our tithes. We're good with our money. But it's amazing how the wheels can come off and all of a sudden you figure out you don't know everything. Right. You know, we're all big health and fitness and we're educated ourselves. We know what we need to do. Look down on our nose, people that are struggling in that area. If you weren't born in the 50s, don't come tell me how to work out. Just telling you. This old body, I tell you, I used to think I had a lot of that figured out. This old body, it creaks and cracks and hurts in ways I would have never imagined. I'm learning some things. It'll come to you. But there's things that we learn in the valley. Things we realize, some things we didn't know, and we learn and we grow as we trust the shepherd. You see, the valley can bring us to a place of humility and faith and trust. And that's a good thing because humility works with God. He gives grace to the humble. We get His favor, His help, His blessing when we are humble. But He resists the proud. So you see, sometimes in the valley we learn that we don't know everything. We humble ourselves before God. We get to the place where we are desperate for answers and we want relief. We want to move on through this valley. And I want to tell you, it's a good thing to get humble before God, where you become teachable, where you're willing to change. And you end up grateful. See, a valley will show you who your friends are, who your real friends are. It's amazing how some people will stand by you no matter what and pray for you. There are some who will just walk away, and there are some friends who, well, they're not really friends at all. They'll even try to take advantage of the situation when you're going through a valley. You'll learn who your real friends are. It'll be revealed. When you go through a valley, it's not that hard to see who your real friends are. And you'll find out who you really are. When you go through the valley, it'll reveal who you are. Sometimes the valley gets people in church. They're going through a dark place in life, and they go to church. They're like, I need the Lord. I need to get close to God. I need more God in my life. That's a good thing to happen. Sometimes it's the valley that gets people there. And sometimes when we serve the Lord, a valley comes along and it shows us where we're missing it. There's something in our life we need to get right. See, a valley's not all bad. A valley will show you some things about yourself. It'll get you searching the scriptures, looking for answers. Valley, it'll have you on your knees at 2 a.m. in the morning praying and seeking God when you'd rather be sleeping, but you can't. What got you there? the valley. See, the valley's not all bad. And in the valley, you'll come to know the Lord in a way that you never did before. Like Job did. When Job lost everything, the Lord revealed himself to Job in a fresh way. And Job said in Job 42:5, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. It's one thing. You see, when you know that God is the healer, and you see it in the scripture, and you hear the preacher talk about it, but when he heals you, it's something altogether different. It's one thing to know that he is the provider, but when you go 5 months without a job and somehow God makes a way, you know him in a way you didn't before. You have come to a place of trust in him where you have confidence in the Lord. I'm just telling you, during the valley, yes, God doesn't change, but all how we learn to see, to know him in a way that we didn't before, as we follow the shepherd. You know, David had been through so many dark valleys in his life. He certainly knew what he was talking about. He knew that the Lord would protect him and watch over him because he himself had watched over sheep and took care of them. In fact, the Lord empowered him that he killed the lion and the bear. God cares a whole lot more about you and I than sheep. And he is well able to take care of us. I told you this psalm is really about trust. I am sure that David had learned to trust the Lord more and more and more through all of those battles and all of those valleys that he went through. There's one thing to trust when everything is easy, when everything's going good. But there's a whole different level of trust in the dark places. When things are falling apart. When you don't understand. It's a whole different level of trust in the valley. Sometimes it's in the valley that we learn to trust him more. Oh, for grace to trust him more. It's in the valley that so often that's when we learn that. Not on the mountaintop, in the valley. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The valley always brings the opportunity to fear. It's the natural reaction when you're going through something. But we got to decide that we will not fear, but instead we're going to trust the Lord. We realize that he is with us. Fear. Fear, there's all kinds of fears that come. There's fear of danger. There's fear of lack, not being able to pay the bills. There's fear of sickness. Fear of being alone, fear of getting old, fear of death itself, all kinds of fears, too many to name. But David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. Though I walk, you see, even though I'm going there, I'm not going to be afraid. It was a declaration of faith. I will not fear. We need to get that down in our heart that when that valley comes, we've already made up our mind. I will not fear, for you are with me. You know, in the first three verses of this passage, it's all good. We're reading about how the Lord's our shepherd and we shall not want. He leads us to the green pastures and the still waters. It's all good. But you need to know that he's not just your shepherd in the good times. He is with you. He's your shepherd in the worst of times, especially when you go through that dark valley. He is near to the brokenhearted. He is right there close by. He doesn't leave. He's not watching from afar. I will not fear, for you are with me. You are with me. Oh, how we need to get that. You are with me. There's something else that changed in this verse. You see, in the first three verses, David is talking about the Lord, and it's wonderful. But in verse 4 here, he's talking to the Lord when he says, I will not fear, for you are with me. It's very personal to him, and it needs to be personal to us. You are with me. If you don't remember another phrase from this whole chapter, remember this one. You are with me. There's a prayer, there's a praise, there's an acknowledgement that no matter what you're going through in life, that you look to the Lord and you say, you're with me. You are with me. You are with me. I'll tell you, when he is your shepherd, you can say that no matter what you're facing. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Refuse to fear. Though I walk through the valley. I'm not going to run, not going to panic. You know, when we find ourselves in a hard place in life, sometimes we just want to run through that valley and get out of it as fast as we can. But it's at those times when we make quick decisions. A lot of the time we make wrong decisions. In fact, we may even keep ourselves in the valley longer by our foolishness, because fear will drive you, he leads, but fear will drive you to make wrong choices in the valley. So you just stay with the shepherd. Just keep walking with the shepherd. Just follow his leading. Just keep doing what he would have you to do. You're going to be all right. Sometimes fear can paralyze you. You don't want to do anything. You don't know what to do, and so you just freeze. You don't want to stay there. You want to pass through. Walking with the shepherd. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me. But we have to decide that we are not going to fear. You don't have to fear. We choose to believe, and we choose not to be afraid. Fear will erode your faith. Fear will cause you to give up. Fear will cause you to back down. And fear will rob you of the blessings that God has for you. The children of Israel let fear rob them of the promised land. A whole entire generation wandered in the wilderness until they all died except for Joshua and Caleb. Why did Joshua and Caleb get to go in? Because they refused to fear. And I see it a lot in our day, in our time, where because of fear, people make wrong choices instead of doing what God wants them to do, instead of trusting God. You got to decide, I will not fear. It's dark, it's scary, it's hard. I will not fear, for you are with me. You know, when I read the stories in the Gospels about the disciples, it just kind of puzzles me sometimes. You know, here they are with the Lord Jesus, and they just didn't get it. On the flip side of that, they're probably looking down at us thinking, hey, y'all got everything that we went through, and y'all still don't get it. But one of those stories is where Jesus is asleep in the boat, and there's this tremendous storm on the lake, and the disciples are afraid for their lives. These men, many of them were fishermen. They're out on the lake all the time. But this storm was so bad, they come and they wake Jesus up, and they say, Lord, don't you care that we're going to die? That's how scared they were. Now, there's a point to this. I want you to see this in Matthew 8, 26. He said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Why are you fearful, O you of little faith. You see, you need to see this. Fear and faith work against one another. Fear will rob you of your faith. You got to decide, I'm not going to fear. I'm going to have faith. I'm going to trust the Lord. I know that you're with me. This is what I don't get. They got Jesus in the boat. If Jesus is in your boat, you're going to be all right. If Jesus is your shepherd, you're going to be all right. You don't have to fear. I will not fear, for you are with me. We all have thoughts of fear. We have to deal with worry, but that's just it. We have to deal with those thoughts. We can't allow ourselves to be overcome by them and be controlled by fear. Instead, we overcome our fear with faith. And we got to take control of our thought life. If you allow yourself to focus on the problems and all that's wrong in this situation, you're going to be consumed with fear. Instead, we focus on the one who's with us. You are with me. I talked about this verse briefly a couple of weeks ago, Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And you see, there it is again. If we will trust the Lord, we can keep our minds on him. And what's the outcome of that? Perfect peace. Even in the midst of a dark valley, we can still have peace if we're trusting the Lord. Our minds are on him. I will not fear, for you are with me. You are with me. That's why we don't fear. David knew that even in the darkest times of life, the Lord was with him. He had faced so many perilous times, but he was not afraid of evil. He knew the protection of the Almighty was a sure thing. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. See, it doesn't matter what you face, what you're going through. He says, I will be with you. Right. There's so many examples of this in the scripture with Jacob had to leave home because his brother Esau wanted to kill him. Jacob left with nothing. He's all by himself out in the middle of nowhere. He goes to sleep with his head on a rock for a pillow. That's pretty hard up, right? And God gives him a dream. And in that dream, it's in Genesis 28:15. The Lord says to him, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. Joseph, his brothers sold him into slavery. And then he's falsely accused and put into prison. But the scripture says this in Genesis 39:3. The Lord was with him. Moses, when God told Moses to go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let his people go, the Lord told him, it's Exodus 3:12. He said, I will be with you. You want to speak truth to power? How about this one? Moses goes to the man who has the most powerful army in the known world, and he says, you let my people go. How could he have that kind of boldness? Because the Lord was with him. You need to know the Lord is with you. When Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land in Joshua 1:5, the Lord said, I will be with you. I will not fail or forsake you. In Judges 6:16, the Lord told Gideon that he was to lead God's people in victory against the Midianites. And he said, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. See, the Lord makes this promise over and over and over in the scripture. And here we are, God's people, God's church. What about us? Matthew 28, what we call the Great Commission, that we as a church endeavor to pursue after and to live out, to make disciples. Jesus says in verse 20, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. How long is he going to be with us? Until the end of the age, he'll always be with us, and then we're forever going to be with him. I will always be with you. You need to know he's with me. He's with me. This is hard. This is bad. This is difficult. He's with me. The shepherd, the good shepherd, he's faithful. We don't have to be afraid. Whatever comes our way, there's nobody and nothing, no demon in hell that can stand against him. And we need to remind ourselves again and again, he's with me. You are with me. Not just when we feel it, not just when we're in church, not just when things are going good, not just when we're walking in victory, even in the most difficult times when it matters most, that's when he's never going to leave you. He's always going to be there. And we can boldly say with David, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We take comfort in his protection. In Psalm 23:4, it says, Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David found comfort in the rod and the staff because, you see, these were two items that were used for protection and also to guide the sheep. We just need to think about this for a second. Who is it that's protecting us? The one who spoke the worlds into being. The Almighty God who can do anything, knows everything. He's the one who watches over us as a shepherd to take care of us. The one who commands legions of angels. That one. He's our shepherd. I read in 2 Kings 19:35 that when the Assyrians came against God's people with a vast army, the angel of the Lord, that's singular, the angel of the Lord went out against them one night and killed 185,000 of them. That's one angel. Do we not realize the power of our God? Satan and his demons are no match for our God. Our God can do anything. We should never be afraid. I will not fear, for you are with me. You are with me. That's why you want the shepherd to be leading and guiding your life. Some people resent the Lord's guidance. They resist him being their shepherd. It's like, you know, kids go through that stage, the terrible twos. I thought the threes were worse, but, you know, the terrible twos. There's a lot of people that act that way with God. It's like whatever he says, no, I want to do it. I do it. I do it. And a lot of people want to do it their way. That's what they sound like to God. I do it. I'm going to tell you something. He'll let you. He gives you a free will. How much better when we realize that the one who wants to lead and guide our lives, he loves us and he's for us and he has our best in mind. That's the God we serve. A lot of the time when we come to a dark valley, we don't understand and we say, why? But that's not the important thing. That's not the question we need to ask. Instead, it's, Lord, what do you want me to do? What's my next step? You see, why won't get you out of the valley, but the Lord's direction and leading will. And so we pray, Lord, what do I do? Psalm 37 and 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. The steps. Most of the time, God leads us one step at a time. Now, the Lord is certainly able to give you vision about your life and what he wants to do in your future. But he still is going to lead us a step at a time to get there. A lot of the time what happens is if we knew the future and where we're supposed to end up, then we end up running towards it and making all kinds of foolish mistakes in the process and maybe even mess things up. Like Abraham and Sarah, when they decided to have a child through their servant girl Hagar, and Ishmael was born, and it caused all kinds of problems and heartache for them. And there's another thing. Sometimes when we knew the future and we knew what God wanted to do, we saw the end, a lot of us would turn and run away because we're not ready for that. But if we get there one step at a time, we'll be ready when he gets us there. And I'm just telling you that the Lord leads us. We just have to be willing to follow the shepherd and let him direct our steps. In Psalm 32 and 8, he says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. If you're in a valley right now, look to the Lord for your next step. Let him lead you. He sees what you can't. He knows things you don't know. So you trust him and you keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on him. When he's our shepherd, his authority, his power, his might, his knowledge, his wisdom, his guidance, it comforts us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Don't fear. Trust him. He'll take care of you. Psalm 58, verses 52 and 53. He made his own people go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely, so they did not fear. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies. He changes not. He's still the same God. He will lead you safely on. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.